Tell your neighbor, say, the spiritual man. That's the title of our address today. Tell your neighbor, say, the spiritual man. In the spirit, man means man and woman. We know that, right? In the spirit, man in the spirit is neuter. That means it's man or woman, it's neutral. Except where it's specified. Like when it says Adam and Eve, then you know it's a man and a woman. You can't call Eve and say, God made the man called Eve. 1 Corinthians 2 and 15. But the spiritual man, the spiritually mature Christian, he judges all things, questions, examines, and applies what the Holy Spirit reveals. Applies what the Holy Spirit reveals. Holy Spirit reveals himself to a spiritually mature Christian. He reveals, he speaks, he shows to a spiritually mature Christian. That is the spiritual man. Yet is himself judged by no one. The unbeliever cannot judge and understand the believer's spiritual nature. Now the Bible says, the spiritual man in the AMPC says he discerns all things. The spiritual man discerns all things. The spiritually mature Christian, the spiritually mature believer, he can read the meaning of everything. I took this from the AMPC. He can read the meaning of everything. The TLB says he has insight into everything. A true Christian, a true believer, has got insight into everything. What does that mean? A true Christian, a true believer, discerns. They don't go by what they feel. They don't go by what they see. They don't go by what they think. They don't go by how things look like. They don't go by what is happening. That is not a child of God. A true child of God discerns. The spiritual man does not make rash decisions. The spiritual man, the mature believer, the mature Christian, does not make rash decisions. He waits on the Holy Spirit's intimation. He waits on the Holy Spirit's suggestion. He waits on the Holy Spirit's revelation. This is a true child of God, a true Christian who is led, who is guided by the Holy Spirit. He waits on what the Spirit of God would say to them. He waits on what the Spirit of God would reveal to him. He doesn't act out of character of a mature believer, of a true Christian. He does not act out of character. He is not led by the desires or the dictates of his own flesh. The spiritual man is not led by the desires or the dictates of his own flesh. The spiritual man, the mature Christian, the mature believer, is not led by need. They don't do something and said, but there was a need for it. They don't do something that they know is not right with God, or they haven't heard from God and say, because there was a need for it. No, they are not led by need. They are not led by discomfort. Some of us, we fail to wait on God because of discomfort. It is discomfort. It's no longer comfortable for me. Now we begin to do something that the Lord has not led us to do. A mature Christian is not led by impatience. Some of us, it could be that we could not wait on God. We could not wait for God, or that wait became so long. We felt the wait was too long. So we said, I'm going to do 1, 2, and 3 when the Lord is silent on the matter. True Christian is not led by impatience. Neither is he led by the status quo. How things look like at the moment. Status quo. How things look like at the moment. Because I can no longer endure this. because I can no longer stand for this, because I can no longer take this. Therefore, I'm going to do 1, 3, and 4. No. That's not the leading of the Holy Spirit. You are led by how things look like at the moment. Some of us, we've left jobs where God had ordained a breakthrough for us, but unbeknownst to us. So because of how things look like at the moment we left, or because of impatience, we felt that the breakthrough was not coming quick enough. It was not coming at the time that we're looking for it to come. Some of us, we have even gotten into wrong relationships because we felt that the wait for the right person, the wait to wait for God for the right thing was taking too long. Landing ourselves headfirst into hot water. The spiritual man, on the contrary, is a person of insight and foresight. Spiritual man, a spiritual believer, Christian, one who is mature, is a man or a woman of insight, a man, a woman of foresight. And please just understand that insight, that foresight, these things, they come from the Holy Spirit. We do not manufacture them. There is no manufacturing plant for such things. They come from the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2, 27 and 20. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things. The same anointing teaches you of all things. That is insight. The Holy Spirit gives you insight concerning all things, concerning everything. The same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. Verse number 20 is even more emphatic. Verse number 20, but you have an unction from the Holy One. Not you will have. No, believer, Christian, you have, not that you will have, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Oh my goodness. Insight. He says you know all things. You have insight. As long as you have the Holy Spirit in you, he reveals all things to you. You are a man, you are a woman of insight. So you don't act rashly. You don't act haphazardly. You don't take or make decisions that are wrong, because you are a man, a woman of insight. You have the unction within you. The anointing abides in you. That means you can consult with the Holy Spirit at any time of your choosing concerning a matter. At any time of your choosing, you can decide not to go by your own decisions. You can decide not to go by your own choices. You can decide not to go by your own understanding, if you so choose. But if you consult him, John 16 and 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you. He will guide you into all truth. All truth. He will make all things known to you. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Can you see that insight? Whatsoever he hears from Jesus, whatsoever he hears from the Father, that he shall speak to you. And not only that, but he says, and he will show you things to come. That is foresight. He gives you insight. You know all things, but also he will show you things. He will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit, he gives us foresight about things that are not yet. Foresight, a glimpse, a knowledge. He reveals to us things that are not yet, so that we can act accordingly and not haphazardly and not erroneously. Can you see that? So that we can act accordingly. He tells us of what is coming. He tells us of what is not yet. He tells us of what is there that we have not experienced yet, that has not come to us yet. All right? So that we can act accordingly and not haphazardly, no matter what our current state is. That means no matter what my current state is, I will act accordingly and not haphazardly, knowing what he has revealed to me, knowing what is yet to come, although it's not yet, but he has revealed it to me. So as a result, I will not act out of line. How did he endure the cross? The Bible tells us, for the joy that was set before him. That's how he endured. He acted accordingly in his current state, knowing what was not there yet, what was not yet, it had not yet happened. So he endured, he was patient, he waited, he endured the pain, he endured the pain. There's need to endure the pain in the current state, knowing what is coming. I say there is need to endure the current pain, but knowing what is coming. It is the knowledge of what is there in the future, it is the knowledge of what is coming that empowers us with the grace to be able to endure what we are going through in the now and not make wrong decisions. Holy Spirit, he also gives us insight to know the true state of things so that we don't despair and we don't give up. When we know the true state of things, if I know the true state of my lack, if I know the true state of my pain, if I know the true state of what I'm passing through right now, I will not be there to despair and to give up. People of God, Jesus Christ, he lived his life with absolute success and precision. He was successful in everything. He was successful in every area of his life. And not only that, but the Lord was precise. He always knew what to do and when to do. Can you see that? He always knew what to do and when to do. This is what we're talking about today. When he says the Holy Spirit, he gives you insight, he gives you foresight so that you know what to do and when to do. Because unless you know that, you will not be successful in life. As a believer, as a Christian, as a child of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew when to wait and when to act. The spiritual man, the mature believer, the mature Christian, they know when to wait and they know when to act. They know when is the right time to do what. They know. Jesus always knew. He was never caught at sixes and sevens concerning anything. That's why he was never anxious. Why was he never anxious? Because he lived his life depending on the Holy Spirit. He was always reliant on the Holy Spirit. That's why you never find in the scriptures where Jesus was anxious. The man who is anxious is a man who does not know what is coming next. Christ was never anxious concerning anything. And when we don't know what is coming, we will be prone to say wrong things. That's why Christ never said wrong things. He always knew the right thing to say. You see, he knew what was coming. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was a man of insight and foresight. He always knew what to expect or to anticipate. To know what to expect, to know what to anticipate. He knew when his time was not come. He knew he was going to be killed. He knew that. But he was never anxious at any moment. He knew when his time had not come. Even when they tried to grab him, even when they tried to capture him, he did not shake, he did not shudder, right? Because he knew that his time had not come. And the Bible says so. It says he knew that his time was not yet. You see that? And when his time had come, he acted accordingly. How did he act accordingly? That's why he went to the garden to pray in the night, because he knew the day they would come. He knew the time they would come. Now you notice he did not go there during the day, but he went there in the evening because he knew his time was in the evening. So he put himself in direct alignment with the calendar, with the timetable of heaven. You see, the spiritual man, he puts himself in direct alignment with the timetable of heaven. Not to be found where you shouldn't be found, and to be doing what you shouldn't be doing, and be with the company that you shouldn't be with. The spiritual man knows what to do, when to do, where they ought to be, and with whom they ought to be. Such was the life. That's why Jesus was extremely successful. You'll be extremely successful as a Christian when you can expect and anticipate, knowing exactly what is coming. Expect and anticipate. But all of these things, they come from the Holy Spirit. I say they come from the Holy Spirit. Now he says you have that unction. He says you have that unction and you know all things. Whatever he hears, that he shall speak to you. And he will also show you things to come. You see, if we know these things, we would really be thirsty for the Spirit of God. Would be thirsty for the waters of heaven. I say would be thirsty. Because remember, he fills the thirsty. Would be thirsty for the waters of heaven. Not to go by our own thinking. Not to go by our own understanding. Not to go by anything that we know. And present ourselves to the Lord. And say, Lord, I don't know as I ought to know. May you please help me. May you please guide me. May you please lead me. Lord, I need you. See, that is thirst. And can I tell you something? Thirst speaks to God. I say thirst speaks to God. Thirst speaks to God. If you can see your tomorrow as clearly as you can see your today, you are a man of vision. You are a woman of vision. If you can see your tomorrow as clearly as you can see your today, when you know where you will be tomorrow, when you know what you will be doing tomorrow, when you know what God has appointed, has ordained, prepared for you tomorrow, truly, you are a man, you are a woman of vision. That means whatever happens to you today, it does not shake you, it does not move you, it doesn't matter to you because you have seen tomorrow. They couldn't destroy Jesus because he was a man who had seen tomorrow. You cannot destroy a man or a woman who has seen tomorrow. I say you cannot destroy a man or a woman who has seen tomorrow. Vision comes from insight and foresight. A man of vision is not moved by distractions. You know, there are things that distract in life. A man of vision is not moved by distractions. A man of vision is not moved by delays. There are a lot of delays. We wait for the promises of God, but there are delays. We wait for the promises of God, but there are distractions. But these things don't move a man or a woman of vision. A woman of vision or a man of vision is not moved by disappointment. This is life. We are doing life. We are living life. It is fraught with disappointment. It is fraught with discouragement. Some days we are in high spirits. Some days we are down in the dumps. Oh, Mande Brushka. We are doing life. This is life. This is real. This is not a movie. This is not dress rehearsal. This is real. Sometimes we are really in high spirits. We say, praise the Lord. Oh my goodness. We speak in tongues. We do all sorts of things. But sometimes we are down below in the dumps. When you don't even feel like praying. But when you try to pray in the spirit, it seems like everything that comes out of your mouth, it comes with serious heaviness. But you see, a man or a woman of vision, they are not moved by these things. These things, they don't change anything. Friends, nothing can deter a man or a woman of vision. Nothing can get a man or a woman of vision down. Nothing could deter Jesus. Nothing could deter the apostles of Jesus. That's why they were killed. That's why they were martyred. Nothing could deter them. So they were trying to deter them. And they said, do what you have to do. Do what you want to do. And they killed them because they couldn't be deterred. You can't deter a man of vision. You can't deter a woman of vision. No, when they start something, when they start something, when they put their hands to something, they will never give up. See, this is a man or a woman that God can rely on. This is a man or a woman that God can depend on. This is a man or a woman that God can work with. Are you that person? Are you that man? Are you that woman? When God knows, wherever I leave you, I will find you there. And be doing what He told you to do. And not preoccupied with other things that God did not task you. I say, not be preoccupied with other things that God didn't task you. Come rain or sunshine, hell or high water, you are always found doing what God has told you to do. You are not shaken. We are not deterred. Nothing can get you down. See that? Now, that's a spiritual man. That is a spiritual woman. See, that is what the Bible calls a mature Christian. A mature believer. Their language does not change depending on what they are passing through. You see that? Their language does not change depending on what they are passing through. Their confession is constant. Their confession never changes. Their confession is always the same. Even when they have nothing, they say, in Christ, I have everything. Even when they are weak, they say, through Christ, I can do all things. You see, their language does not change depending on the things that they go through. Doesn't change. Romans chapter number 4. In 1 year alone, how many times have you changed your confession? 1 year, just 12 months. How many times have you changed your confession? Today is only the 21st of January. But how many times have you changed your confession already? You see, you are not spiritual, but you are a carnal Christian. There are Christians that are spiritual and there are Christians that are carnal, right? It says so in the Bible. Paul says, I could not speak to you, brethren, as to spiritual, but as to carnal. You're still natural. You're still led by your natural mind, your senses, your feelings, your emotions. He says, I could not speak to you as to spiritual. See that? There are spiritual Christians. These are the ones we're talking about. But they're also carnal Christians. Carnal Christians, they wait for promises that will never arrive. Because those who inherit the promises are the spiritual ones, the mature ones. Romans 4, we're going to take it from verse number 17. Is it okay, friends? Now it says, as it is written, I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope Abraham believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Friends, there was nothing to hope for in the physical for Abraham. There was not even a sign. Can you see that? This is a spiritual man. There was nothing to hope for. He knew what God had promised him, but it was not forthcoming. There was nothing in the horizon. He kept on looking, there was nothing. He kept on looking, there was nothing coming. There was nothing to hope for in the physical for him. There was no sign. He didn't see any light at the end of the tunnel. There was absolutely nothing. And yet, this is the man who walked with God. This is the man who was walking with God. This is the man who had heard God. This is a man who had received a promise from God. But in the physical, there was nothing to hope for. In the physical, there was no sign whatsoever. In the physical, there was no light at the end of the tunnel. Now tell me about a man that could have given up and begin to charge God and say, Lord, you are unfaithful. Tell me about a man who could have given up. Events surrounding Abraham were contrary to what he hoped for. I say events surrounding him. I'm talking to real people here. I'm talking to people who are breathing. I'm talking to people whose hearts are pumping. I say, surround the events that surrounded him, there was absolutely nothing to hope for. Are you that Christian? And this is the time when believers begin to say, no, I think I'm doing something wrong. I think there's a hidden sin in my life. Why this is not happening? Maybe I am not praying enough. Maybe I'm not reading the word of God enough. Maybe I'm not fasting enough. You see, when you go into such conversations, now you have jumped out of being spiritual. Now you've just become carnal. All things are not happening. You start searching for sin in your life. You start questioning yourself, maybe I'm not praying enough. Maybe I'm not reading the word of God enough. Maybe I'm not fasting enough. No. That's not a spiritual man. That's not a spiritual woman. There was nothing for this man of God. There was no light at the end of the tunnel. The events surrounding him were contrary. Absolutely everything was contrary. But the word of God says, as we're going to see in verse number 20, but yet he did not waver. Oh my goodness. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He did not waver. Listen, he did not waver. How did that happen? It is a decision that he made. Even is the same with you and I. Nothing seems to be happening. Nothing seems to be changing. But we have a decision to make. We can make a decision to still believe in God, to still hope in God, or do something else. You see, the part that says he did not waver, he made his own decision. It's a personal decision. What you do. Do you continue waiting? Do you continue believing? Do you continue hoping? Or you just go left completely? You go off at a tangent to do whatever you want to do. A decision. You might not have passed at school, grade 12 or whatever grade, the way that you wanted, but a decision is laid upon you. It's a choice to make. Whether you give up or whether you do something positive. It's a choice. The Bible says he did not waver. Friends, the spiritual man makes spiritual decisions. Not sensual decisions, not decisions based on senses, not decisions that make sense. Spiritual decisions do not make sense. The spiritual man, the spiritual woman, they make spiritual decisions. They don't make decisions that make sense. Some of us, we make decisions that make sense. You do something and it makes sense, but it's not spiritual. Does it make sense? Of course it does. Is it spiritual? Of course not. God didn't say that. That's not the way of God for you. Spiritual decisions are guided by faith and they are guided by the Holy Spirit. Spiritual person, they don't make sensual decisions. Verse number 21 says, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Abraham being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Now, let us bring this into context. For 25 years, Abraham was fully convinced. For 25 years, he did not waver. For 25 years, he was strengthened in faith. For 25 years, he gave glory to God when there was nothing. 25 years, he did not waver. There was absolutely nothing in the offing. There was nothing coming in the horizon. There was absolutely nothing. For 25 years, he did not waver. For 25 years, he was strengthened in faith. For 25 years, he gave glory to God. These are the characteristics of a spiritual man, of a spiritual woman. They do not give up just because the answer has not arrived. They don't deny God just because the promise has not arrived. They don't go against God just because the answer to prayer hasn't come. Just because the prayer has not been answered. They don't go against God. Number 22, and therefore it was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. Now, this is amazing. Now it was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but also for us. Can you see that? But also for us today. How long did Abraham live? How long? Way beyond 2,000 years, long before Christ came. But the Bible says it was not written to him alone, that it was imputed to him, but also for us. This means that neither God nor his word has changed for us today. Just as it was for Abraham, so it is today. The Bible says it shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. It shall be imputed to us who believe. You see, it shall be imputed to us who believe. Faith. God hasn't changed. Neither has the word of God changed. Neither has the promise of God changed. Friends, we too, if we believe against the odds, imputed to us. We too, if we believe against the odds through difficult circumstances, in the long and difficult waiting, in the long and difficult waiting. Believe even when things seem hopeless, even when it seems hopeless, but we continue believing, you and I will have exactly what Abraham had. Because God has never changed. The word of God has never changed. The promise of God has never changed. Just as it was for him, so it is for us, so it shall be for you and for me. If we too, we believe against all odds in the long and difficult waiting. Sometimes the waiting feels so long and so difficult. Every fiber in your being wants to give up. It tells you to give up. Everything in you says give up. You've been waiting for too long. This thing is not coming. You are mad. You're crazy. You're not thinking right. You're not thinking straight. It is time for you to give up. It was exactly the same thing with Abraham. But we need to continue to believe even when it seems hopeless. I say we need to continue to believe even when it seems hopeless. Why? Because we know what the outcome will be. Ay, ay, ay. We know what the outcome will be. He endured for the joy that was set. We know what the outcome will be. You see, the joy is not immediate. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured. He was not experiencing joy at that point, but he was experiencing pain. It is the same thing with us in the now, right now. We are not experiencing joy. We are experiencing pain, difficult circumstances. Things are hard. The waiting seems so long. It's difficult. But we know if we can see the future, what the Holy Spirit reveals to us is not gloom and doom. What the Holy Spirit reveals to us is not gloom and doom. What the Holy Spirit reveals to us, it is not gloom and doom. It is a future. It is a great future. It is an amazing future. Eye has not seen. It has not entered into the heart of man. Oh my goodness, the thing that he has prepared. You see, we know the future. He's already revealed it to us. It's not a mystery. It is now an open secret. I say it's not a mystery. It is an open secret. We should not be weak in faith. And we should not waver at the promise through unbelief, but we must be strengthened in faith like Abraham was. Be strengthened in faith and give glory to God. Even when there's nothing to give God glory for, give glory to God. Even if there's nothing to give God glory for. There was absolutely nothing for Abraham to give God glory for at this point, because the promise had not yet come, but he continued to give God the glory. The man was strengthened in the faith. Friends, if we are fully convinced that what God has promised is able to perform, just like Abraham was fully convinced, we too shall receive what Abraham received. We shall inherit the promises. We shall inherit the promises. See, this is the foresight we're talking about. We have both insight and foresight. When we act out of character as Christians, as blood-washed Christians, as spirit-filled Christians, is because we make the choice, not because we don't know the future, not because the future has not been revealed to us. No. We make the choice. When we go left, when we go astray, it's not because we don't know the future. No. We have been given both insight and foresight. The word of the Lord says in Hebrews 6, 11 and 12, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Oh my goodness. Hebrews 6, 11 and 12, and we desire that each one of you, you show the same diligence, Mona Lisa, diligence to the full assurance of hope until when? Until the end. Not giving up at any stage, not giving up at any point, because this God who has promised is taking too long. This Jesus who has promised is taking too long. So I'm diving back full force into the world. No. Show full assurance of hope until the end. Don't give up. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate, follow those who through faith and patience, those who through faith and patience, like Abraham. See, Abraham, through faith and patience, he inherited the promises. For 25 years, the man of God did not give up. A true child of God does not give up, no matter how difficult life is. Life is difficult. Life is meant to be difficult. But a true Christian, a true child of God, blood washed, spirit filled, will not give up. Will not give up. They don't go by things. They don't change their confession because they have received the promises. The confession before the promises come is one. When the promises have come, it still remains the same. That's a true child of God, the spiritual man, the spiritual woman. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit. We should follow the likes of Abraham. It was not written for his sake alone, the Bible says. It says, but it was also written for us. So we ought to imitate, we ought to follow. It was also written to us. And the Bible says, it shall also be imputed. That means we shall also receive what they receive. Those who through faith and patience, if we follow them, they receive the promises, and so shall we. It is easy to see that Abraham was a spiritual man, was not a carnal man. So we shouldn't be carnal, church. We must not be carnal. How things look like did not dictate to Abraham. Abraham was a man of vision. A man of vision is a man of insight, is a man of foresight. We've explained these things. Jesus Christ, at any point, he knew what he needed to do, and he knew what was coming. He knew what to anticipate. He knew what to expect. That's how a spiritual man, that's how a spiritual woman is. Are you a spiritual man? Are you a spiritual woman? We are exactly like Abraham was. We are exactly like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was. At any point, at any stage, they knew exactly what was coming. They knew what to anticipate. They knew what to expect. Are you living your life daily with anticipation and expectation of what God has promised? Are you living your life daily with anticipation with expectation of what God has promised. Because if not, we are just going through the motions. We are just going through the motions. You are going with the wind. When the wind is blowing east, you go east. It blows west, you go west. It blows south, you go south. It blows north, you go north. You see, we are not stable. We are unstable. The Bible says, let not that man, that woman, suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. A man or a woman who is unstable in faith, unstable at the promises, is unstable in all their ways, and they will not receive anything from the Lord. The spiritual man or woman is a man or a woman of vision, of anticipation, of expectation. These things are important. You can tell by what people say where they stand in the spirit is. Just listen to what people are saying. You can tell where their stand in the spirit is. They go by things. When they're expecting God to do something in 3 months, it does not happen in 3 months. They change their confession. Must live life with a vision, friend. Vision is a picture of what is surely yet to be. What is vision? A picture of what is surely, surely yet to be. It's a picture of what is surely coming. It is surely coming. The spiritual man is a man of the Spirit. The spiritual man is a man full of the Holy Spirit. The spiritual man is a man full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5 and number 18. Ephesians 5 and 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Can you see? The spiritual man is a man of the Spirit. The spiritual man is a man full of the Holy Ghost. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This is a command for all of us to be spiritual. This is a command. Come on. Ephesians 5 and 18 is a command. It is a command for all of us believers, for all of us Christians, to be spiritual, to be full of the Holy Spirit, to be led by Him, to be guided by Him, to be empowered by Him continually. It is a command for us to stay filled. It's a command for us to do what? Stay filled. Stay filled. Full of the Holy Ghost. The spiritual man is one full of the Spirit, is one led by the Spirit, is one guided by the Holy Spirit, and this one is a true believer. This one is a true believer. The spiritual man or woman overcomes all circumstances of life. Why? They are full of the Holy Spirit. They know all things because it reveals things to them. Not only things in the now, but things in the future. Not only things that are, but things that are yet to be. Not only things that are now, but things that are coming. Can you see that? This is why Jesus Christ, He overcame all circumstances of life. He had the knowledge of what is and the knowledge of what was to come. He had the knowledge of what is and the knowledge of what is to come. Friends, life happens. Life happens to all of us. I say life happens to all of us. We need to be spiritual and not carnal. We need to be spiritual. Things happen. Life happens to all of us. We need to be spiritual and not carnal. We cannot go by what is happening with us. We cannot go by what is around us. We cannot go by our experiences. Because if we do, then we are carnal, we are not spiritual. If we go by our debts, you are carnal. Now, here's the thing with the carnal believer. They cannot inherit the promises. Now, you see the trap of the enemy. The Christians who go by what is happening with them, they go by what is happening around them. They go by their experiences. The devil keeps them there because he knows a carnal believer cannot inherit the promises. Cannot. As Christians who are spiritual, the Bible says be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's a command. Be filled. Be filled. Be full of the Holy Spirit. Be spiritual. How can we be spiritual? By being filled. By being full of the Holy Spirit. Am I talking to you, church? We can certainly not go by what we feel. We can certainly cannot go by our emotions. We can certainly cannot go by our own understanding. It does not matter how educated you are. Does not matter how many degrees you've got. Does not matter how many honors degrees you have, doctoral degrees. It does not matter. We cannot. Life is spiritual. Degrees are carnal, are natural. That sensual, carnal knowledge. Natural knowledge. No, we are talking about spiritual. Life is spiritual. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because life is spiritual. And we certainly cannot go, we cannot live life by our own understanding. I say we certainly cannot live life by our own understanding. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. You will not make it in life as a Christian if you go by your own understanding. You won't make it. Absolutely won't make it. Trust in the Lord with all your... Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Do not lean on your own understanding. Do not lean on your own. Lean on God's understanding, not your own. Lean on the Holy Spirit's understanding and not on your own. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. God did not say, because you're intelligent, then direct your own paths. No. God didn't say that. Because you're educated, because you've got money, because you've got power, because you've got influence, direct your own paths. No, He says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. This is the only path to success. For a child of God, for a Christian, there is no other. I say this is the only path to success for a Christian, for a child of God. There is no other. Friends, when things happen in our lives, when prayers seem not to be answered, when scriptural promises seem not to come, we must not jump into conclusions. When things happen in our lives, when prayers seem not to be answered, when biblical scriptural promises seem not to come, we must not jump into conclusions. Abraham did not jump into conclusions. And we must not allow our minds to lead us astray. No. Rather, we must stay resolute, determined, and fasten our gaze on Him who promised. We rather must stay resolute, determined, and fasten our gaze on Him who promised, who shall also bring it to pass. God will surely bring it to pass. I say, God will surely bring it to pass. If He promised you a big company, it is coming. If He promised you millions, they are coming. If He promised you billions, they are surely coming. If He promised you trillions, they are surely coming. If He promised you seven virgins, they are surely coming. And your own little kingdom with your seven virgins. God shall surely make good on His promises to us. God shall surely make good. Fix of God shall surely make good on His promises to us. He will. We are spiritual people, and what do spiritual people do? They stay resolute, they stay determined, they fasten their gaze on the one who promised. They don't fasten their gaze on things or on people, but on the one who promised. Let's clap our hands today for Jesus.